Our first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter, is from the first chapter of Acts. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called, in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the fifth chapter of 1 John. "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born, concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon is based upon our gospel reading for today. Please be seated. One time Jesus was praying to his heavenly Father, and his disciples were there. They heard every word. They heard Jesus speaking about his departure to ascend into heaven, and they heard Jesus pray for them. Jesus said, "Heavenly Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Jesus actually prayed that God would not take the disciples into heaven, at least not yet. If you think about it, it's an interesting prayer, Jesus said. Even though the disciples wanted to come, even though they asked Jesus to show them the way that he was going, Jesus' prayer summed it up pretty clearly. They were going to stay here in this world. And the disciples would go back to their old lives, back to being fishermen again and tax collectors again, but this time, no Jesus. Back to living in this world again with its diseases, but this time, no Jesus. Back to living again in this world, seeing people die, and they wouldn't be able to do anything about it because Jesus was gone. The disciples wanted to follow Jesus because they knew Jesus was life itself. And they wanted to have life. They wanted to have a new life with Jesus. But they knew that in order to do that, they had to be with Jesus. We may have even prayed the same prayer as the disciples, or at least had the same thought and hope that Jesus might take us to be with him right now. That Jesus would take us so that we could leave this world now and live with him in heaven. Little children actually daydream about this a lot. They hear this scripture passage saying that Jesus ascended into heaven, was hidden by a cloud, and the disciples were told by angels, Jesus will return the same way. And that's very true. So a little girl may go outside, look up at the clouds, and wonder if Jesus is there behind that cloud. And that child's faith is right and true. That little girl may even pray for Jesus to come right now, and maybe hopes that as the wind blows and as the cloud passes by, that Jesus might be behind it. But Jesus' word reminds us that we do not know when he will return. We can pray for that day, and we should. But Jesus' words to his Father were clear. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. His prayer also reminds us that for now, we are right where God wants us. But there are other times we think of Jesus' return and pray for it, maybe a bit more seriously. There are times in our lives when we may wish Jesus would return because we need him now, maybe more than ever. So a teenage boy goes to his first funeral. He's wearing his first suit he ever had. He sees his first hearse that will carry the casket. And in the room where all the relatives are gathered, he smells his first line of funeral flowers. And nestled between that line of flowers is the first grandparent he ever lost, his grandmother. And he is shocked when he sees her, shocked to see that she's gone and she won't talk to him. And more than anything, what he feels right now in that moment is that he just wants to be with her again. And in his heart of hearts, he prays, Lord, I'm so sad. Please, come back now so no one ever has to die again. Please come back now and take all of us to be with you, right now. But even in that moment, Jesus' words still ring true. Words calling us to have patience and never lose hope. Heavenly Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. At least not yet. A child looking for Jesus behind clouds. A boy yearning for the return of Christ to be with loved ones. Those are touching moments in life. But there was also more to the prayer that Jesus said than just us remaining here. There was another piece to the prayer that Jesus prayed that shows that Jesus did not and never will abandon you. Jesus prayed, Heavenly Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus' prayer may have initially sounded cruel. The disciples were not going to get what they asked for. Instead, Jesus was giving them something far greater. Jesus prayed that in the world, the disciples and all of us would be protected from the evil one, the devil, protected by God's word. And God proved faithful to that prayer of Jesus. And he proved faithful to that prayer a million times over. And he still does. Look at the countless number of times that God gave his word to his disciples and protected them, just like Jesus prayed. Think back to when Jesus preached his first sermon in Nazareth. And when he was done preaching, a demon-possessed man appeared. Well, Jesus wasn't going to allow this demon to destroy that man. Jesus promised that his people would be protected from the evil one in this world. So by his word, Jesus commanded the demon to leave, and it did. And of course, the disciples would have also remembered the woman who was caught in adultery. And by the word of Jesus, he forgave her sin and called her to walk in a new life. There again, the disciples could see God's word in this world protecting them from the evil one. And then there was the feeding of the 5,000. An amazing miracle occurred in which two fish and five loaves of bread were connected to God's word and fed thousands of people. God's word protected the people from the evil one that day, protected them from starvation. And then there was maybe the most dramatic event in which God's word protected God's people. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Remember that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. He was already buried in a tomb. And as his sisters pleaded for Jesus not to open the tomb because there was an odor, Jesus ordered the stone to be rolled aside, and with the most powerful word creation has heard, Jesus chased the evil one away by saying, Lazarus, come out. And by the word of God, Jesus proved he had authority even over death itself. Remember Jesus' prayer. Father, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And God was faithful to those disciples, and God is faithful to you. Jesus said a prayer for you. He prayed your Heavenly Father would protect you from the evil one. And throughout your life, Jesus has kept his word to you. And Jesus is still keeping his word to you, especially now as our risen and ascended Lord. Remember that demon-possessed man in Nazareth? Jesus spoke his word, and the demon was removed from that man, and that man became whole again. Well, Jesus has done the same thing for you in your baptism. Years ago, Jesus expelled from you not a demon, but something far worse, your sinful nature, a sickness from the devil that infected everything from our souls to our minds and even into our bodies. But by God's word, that sinful nature has been made powerless over you because you now have the Holy Spirit. God's word is still protecting all of us in this life, and it always will, because God will never abandon you to the evil one. Just as the woman who was caught in adultery was freed by the power of Jesus' word, so also have you been freed from your sins by the same Jesus when he said to you today in the absolution, "I forgive you all your sins." And just as Jesus fed 5,000 people with a meager meal by the power of his word, so also are you receiving a very full meal of Christ's body and blood when Jesus says to you, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, both given into death for you." By the word alone, Jesus also called Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And he did. Everything in creation must obey Jesus and must obey Jesus' word. And so also, one day, will you be called away from death by that same word. Because even death has a master. And that master is Jesus Christ. One day, when the time is right, we will not remain in this world any longer. When the time is just right, Christ will return just as he left us. And a little girl who has been looking up to the clouds with great faith of a child will see him, as will all of us. And on that day, our last and greatest enemy, death, will be destroyed. Destroyed so that a young man who once attended his first funeral in his first suit will indeed see his first grandma rise from the dead right alongside him, where they and all of us will finally find everlasting joy in Christ in heaven, where praises will never end. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.